Welcome to New Hope Ministries. New Hope Ministries is a part of New Hope Community Church in Mount Pleasant, Pennsylvania. Please listen or subscribe by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us on iTunes. Now let's hear from Pastor Michael this week in the book of Jonah with our second message, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. The title of the message is, You Can't Keep a Good Man Down. We're in Jonah chapter 2 today, if you're following along. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach to that city, cry out against it. We know from 2 Kings he was a successful prophet. He had a certain notoriety, possibly had some bad experiences with Nineveh. Maybe the Assyrians had done something to his family, or he saw his mother raped or his father murdered by them, but we honestly don't know. But he heads 1,000 miles in the other direction and wants nothing to do with them. He runs from the calling and would rather not listen. Then gets a bunch of sailors in trouble, and they are fearful because of the storm. They finally throw him into the ocean, and a great calm takes place, and they get saved as a revival takes place on the ship. We may say some of these men at the throne of the Lord one day. See, I can relate to Jonah because I'm stubborn. You know, when I first moved here to marry my wife, December 20th of 2006, she had right before that bought a dog. And the dog was a Dog Day Bordeaux. And the dog was slobbery. And I always told myself I would never own a slobbery dog. Never, ever. Well, I loved my wife and decided to move and wound up. Gigi was one of my favorite and most awesome dogs. So I understand the stubbornness. But God can change your heart. The same critics who don't want to believe Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days are the same ones who don't want you to believe that Jesus was in the grave for 3 days and rose again and resurrected. This is a miraculous fish prepared by the Lord, and it's no problem to him. He created thousands of little fish as they were dispersed to the multitudes, as well as bread. He made people's legs and arms grow back and fixed people's eyes and brains, so why can't Jonah be swallowed by a whale? He even allowed Peter to go catch a fish which had a coin, which of the million of fish in the Sea of Galilee, he happened, just so happened, to catch the one with a coin in its mouth. Jonah chapter 2 verse 1 says, From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This is the first good idea that Jonah had gotten in his negative adventure running in the opposite direction of God's calling. I want you to notice too as we go through this prayer. There are at least 8 or 9 psalms that are quoted here. So Jonah knew the Word of God. He knew his Bible. This is a man who loved the Word of God and the songs of God's house we see here. He has no Bible inside the whale's belly to reference. In this, the knowing of Scripture, he should have never tried to run from God because he loved the Psalms. He probably knew Psalm 139. It says, Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Note, Jonah was very grounded in Scripture before the crisis came into his life. You don't want to wait till the whale swallows you and say, Wow, I should have read my Bible more. Take advantage of the Bible. We have many great translations. We have such easy access to the book. We have them on our coffee tables, decorative Bibles, pocket Bibles in our bathrooms. Some even leave their Bibles here during the week so they don't forget to bring them to church Sunday. Well, either that or they just forget them, and that's between you and the Lord. God has stretched His grace to us in many ways. His grace to us, and Jonah isn't in the belly saying, "Man, I wish I remembered that verse." It flowed from his mouth. But you see, I can relate to Jonah because I'm stubborn too. Because after my wife decided she wanted a slobbery dog, she wanted a foo-foo dog after that. And the first dog she bought was my Jatsu, Suki. And my Suki is a foo-foo dog. She's a little tiny foo-foo dog. You know, and I was like, "I don't like foo-foo dogs. I don't want a foo-foo dog." Well, again, Suki's 10 years old now. I've had her for a long time. And she's a beautiful and wonderful and awesome dog. You know, in my stubbornness, I wound up liking some of the smallest, most foo-foo-y dogs that you could buy. Now let's look at Jonah's prayer. Verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry." That's Psalm 18, 4 through 6, Psalm 86, 13, and Psalm 30, verse 3, and 30, verse 9. "For your loving kindness towards me is great, and you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol." That's Psalm 86, 13. Some reputable scholars in some of their theology say Jonah died and came back, but we can see that the psalmists use Sheol, the grave, and the depths to describe their anguish and their circumstances as well. David did that many times. Verse 3, "You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and your breakers swept over me." Psalm 42, verse 7. "Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me." Verse 4. "I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me. The deep surround me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." Psalm 40, verse 12. Psalm 69, verse 1. "Save me, God, for the waters have threatened my life." Psalm 69, verse 1. If Jonah was in a sperm whale, we know that a whale will vomit before it dies. There's plenty of room in a whale's stomach for him. The temperature, again, is 104 to 108 degrees with 100% humidity. The temperature doesn't get you, it's the humidity. I was in Israel walking around in 103 degree weather with no humidity, not realizing that I was getting burned. But humidity can really work on a person. When it's 95 degrees outside with 30% humidity, it'll feel like it's 95 degrees. But bump the humidity up 65% and the temperature feels like it's 117 degrees. There are effects that take place. The problem with high humidity making us feel hotter is not just that we're more uncomfortable, but that we're actually hotter. Our bodies compensate by working harder and harder to cool us down. When sweating doesn't work to cool us, and we continue to heat up, overheating results, which causes a loss of water and chemicals that the body needs. Overheating, or more commonly, heat exhaustion, can lead to dehydration and chemical imbalances within the body. Jonah could have been experiencing heat cramps, exhaustion from this experience. It would have been very uncomfortable and almost like being in a sweat room for 3 days with seaweed and salt water and dead animals, nothing to drink or eat, and extremely uncomfortable. I would have cried out earlier, probably while going down the whale's throat. Verse 6. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever, but you brought my life from the pit, O my Lord." Psalm 107, verse 20 says, "He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the pit." Verse 7. "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, in my prayer to you in your holy temple." That's Psalm 107, verse 6, Psalm 107, verse 13, 107, 19, and 107, verse 28. "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help came to his ears. Psalm 18:6. This is a very stubborn guy. I'm on the ship. My life is ebbing away. I'm saying, God, I'll go anywhere. Please get me out of here. Jonah must have had some kind of experience with these Ninevites. But I'm a stubborn guy too. After we got Gigi, after we got Suki, we got Miko. And Miko is probably was one of the most foo-foo-ish dogs that you could ever have. One of the most foo-foo-ish dogs that you could ever imagine. Miko was an extremely foo-foo dog. I don't want another foo-foo dog. I already have a foo-foo dog. I have Suki. I already have a slobbery dog. I have Gigi. But I love them both. Like, they're my kids. And I loved Miko. Like, she was my kid as well. You see, that's the interesting story. I'm as stubborn as Jonah many times. There's preservation. Verse 8 says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. That's Psalm 106:36, 135 verse 15, 97 verse 7, 96 verse 5, 31 verse 6. Verse 9, but I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you. What have I vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Psalm verse 3, verse 8. He couldn't sacrifice at that time. He didn't have a fire. So he gave thanks in the whale's belly, which we don't know if his singing made the great mammal throw him up. But think about that. He's in the problem giving thanks to God. That's very important. I will be a one-thing person and do what you want me to do, Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. Selah. Psalm chapter 3, verse 8, verse 10. And the Lord commanded the fish and vomited up Jonah onto dry land. The whale went, ready, aim, fire. You can't keep a good man down. This whale must have felt like me after I ate something that I know would sit like a brick in my stomach, but I eat it anyway. This whale had a brick of a prophet in his stomach moving around, trying to adjust himself. It must have been painful. So when he vomited, he must have been like, thank God it didn't profit me to eat that prophet. What indigestion. The whale must have thanked God for spewing him up. We have Jonah here saying these things. Jonah said he's crying from the belly of hell. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 39, he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a sign, but none will be given except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus said he was in a whale's belly, not in hell. So if Jesus said this, and it was a sign the Pharisees could see as Jesus would go into the tomb and come out resurrected, how could anyone see Jonah in hell? We will see later on, Jonah is the sign of Nineveh, not the words, but his paleness of skin, the loss of his hair, the bleached, sun-torched skin from a whale's digestive juices. He looked like that movie Powder that came out years ago, or the girl who played the devil in The Passion of the Christ, or probably the most famous one that most people know, Lord Voldemort from the Harry Potter movies. Jonah was the sign, it said in Luke, not the message. Picture that. You're living in Nineveh and you heard Jonah died, and then several days later after he walks in and he's bleached and he looks like a zombie and he's telling you to repent. Verse 10, and the Lord commanded the fish, it vomited Jonah up into dry land. In all things, You can't keep a good man down. This guy gets spewed out. He looks a mess. He's bald. He's got no hair, bleached skin. He smells like seaweed and dead fish. He looks like a dead man. Then he goes to Nineveh to cry out God's message. Let's simplify when we're in horrible situations. We don't think, darn, I forgot to pay the mortgage bill today. Oh no, I didn't lock the door when I left the house. Holy mackerel, I didn't cancel that appointment with my massage therapist. Oh man, I'm missing the football game. What do we remember? We remember the Lord in horrible situations because life simplifies. When a mother is in the hospital, she's having her baby, and that baby has a low rate of survival, one thing is remembered by her if she is a believer. When a spouse is on the edge of death and the doctors can't do anything about it, there is only one thing to remember. Stuff means nothing. A house, car, gadgets. When we get in these situations, there is one thing to remember. Biblical stories. David in the cave of Adullam. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. One thing. Paul, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. One thing. Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 41. Martha was worried about this and about that, while Mary was sitting by the feet of Jesus. One thing. We need to be worried about one thing, people. We would be much better in life if we weren't many thing people. God got Jonah to be a one thing prophet because Jonah chapter 2 verse 7 says, when my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer to you and your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. What are these worthless idols and the grace that could be theirs? Not stone carvings and statues, but the mindset of, I can do whatever I want, and not what God has me to do. I don't have to go to Nineveh because God wants it. I don't have to follow God's rules or commandments. I don't have to live a righteous life and be a witness unto Him. I don't need to know Him through prayer, the Bible, and attending church. I don't need to stay in my marriage because God values marriage. I don't need to do this or that because God would want me to and His Word says it. I can do whatever I want and don't care what your Word says. I can gamble all my money away at Rivers Casino and destroy my family. I can get drunk and break my spouse's heart every time I do it. I can smoke dope because it's natural. Well, so is uranium. Why don't you go smoke that? We need to pray about where our money goes. We have to try and be godly men and women to please our spouses. We need to stay away from junk that can harm our bodies. We need to seek God and be one thing people. In closing, we need to give up our stubborn selfishness because sometimes when we think that we don't think, oh, well, if I'm a youth leader, I'm not going to like it. If I'm a pastor, I'm not going to like, I'm talking about myself now. If I have a foo-foo dog, I'm not going to like it. If I have a slobbery dog, it's not going to be good. We need to give up our own stubborn selfishness. We need to be prepared for in-belly experiences, that there will be times where God tells us to do something, we don't do it, so He throws us into a belly. And I've been thrown into a whale many times, not literally, but figuratively. where I felt like I could not get out of it until I decided to do what God called me to do, and then got thrown up and was covered with seaweed and smelled bad and looked bad. And I finally said, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And we need to surrender. We can't surrender every other day and say, well, I'll just do whatever I want to do in my marriage. I'll just do whatever I want in my relationships. I'll just, you know, tithe whenever I want because I don't think I should tithe all the time. I'll just need to do this. You know, God, you want me to do this and I don't want to do it today, so I'll do it next week. No, we need to surrender and do it daily. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are patient. Extremely patient with our stubbornness. Thank you, Lord, that you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you care for us. Father, help us to hear your voice, and that when you ask us to do something, Lord, help us to be obedient. Lord, help us also to be open, that there are times where we have slobbery dogs come into our lives, or we have foo-foo dogs, or, you know, and that's just one example. That's just something I threw out there. But Lord, help us when something happens not to be stubborn, but to surrender and to obey and to listen to what you want us to do. And Father, in that, Lord, I give you all the praise. I give you all the thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. If you enjoyed this message today, then please visit our subscriptions for podcasts by visiting newhopecommunitychurch.podomatic.com or like us on iTunes. Thank you very much and have a great day in Jesus and have an awesome week in the Lord. And don't forget, there's always new hope in Jesus. God bless you.